Good to see
everybody tonight. Good to worship. And good to have Brother Ron. And we miss him when he's gone, and he's gone quite a bit. But that's a good thing. He's preaching. He's ministering. And I'm so thankful the Lord's given him strength to be able to do that. But, boy, I appreciate him when he's here. And I like to hear him preach. I hope you do, too. I love the Word of God, and it's good to be preached, too, sometimes. So I asked him to preach tonight, as it's been a little while since he's preached for us. So you come and you bring the Word to us, brother.
Appreciate Brother Brown asking me to speak. Turn, if you will, to the book of Revelation, the second chapter. I would ask you to pray for my wife. I had her about well, and she wanted to go to Nebraska with me, and as soon as she got out there, she started hacking and coughing, and it's just gotten worse. In fact, she was throwing up. She was coughing so much. And so remember her in prayer and the work that we try to do, and we try to pray for the church when we're not here. One thing I don't do anymore is prepare very many new sermons. I have 3 Bible studies that I'm working on now to be printed, but most of the sermons I preach are older sermons, and this is a real old sermon. But Revelation 2 and verse 3, Jesus is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he's complimenting them, and one of the things he says in verse 3, he says, "And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hast not fainted." Now, in speaking to them about not fainting, you would get the idea, and it would be correct, that many churches have fainted and many individuals have fainted. I think an individual can faint spiritually, and I think entire churches can faint and become discouraged. In fact, I almost think that that's the status quo today. Everywhere you go, you ask people how are things going, and you don't get a very cheerful response on that. But life is tough. It's difficult. Satan is a real enemy, and it is a time when many Christians, I think, feel beat up by life. We have family trouble, we have health problems, we have disappointments. Life just beats a person up, and people faint. Now, if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 2, we want to look at what fainting is, what is meant when the Bible speaks of fainting. Of course, the fainting in Joshua 2 is more of a physical thing, not an actual faint, but we're applying this to show what's meant by spiritual faint-heartedness. Joshua 2 and verse 8, this is talking about the spies that went over and spoke to Rahab the harlot. It says, "And before they were laid down, she came up upon them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Now notice, she's going to tell us what she means by fainting. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and that and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Now notice, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." So their hearts melted, and there was no more courage in them. And that's what happens to us when we faint. We lose hope. We become spiritually weak, spiritually discouraged. We lose courage, and we have a pessimistic attitude. So you see that in fainting. It's not a position of death, but it's a position of weakness. I have only fainted once in my life. I'll not tell you about it, but I did faint one time. I didn't die, but I became weak and actually passed out. And I think spiritually we can become weak and pass out, so to speak. Now, what is it in the Christian life that causes us to faint? Well, first of all, labor. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And, of course, the idea is we may faint, but if we do not faint and if we continue, we're going to see a blessing. We're going to see God give us fruit for our labor. In due season, he says, we shall reap if we faint not. But labor can cause a Christian to faint. I was always kind of a workaholic. A workaholic is a person that feels like they don't work hard. And you always want to do more. I remember during the day, back when I was pastor, I had talked to an insurance man. And I came in that night from visitation about 9 o'clock, and he was here measuring something. I said, "Are you still working?" And he looked at me and said, "Are you still working?" And it struck me, because like I say, I always looked at it like I never did enough, that I was as busy as he was. But labor can cause us to faint, and life can become hard. We have a lot of things on our plate, children and the church, and Brother Brown, I know, has a lot to do. But labor can cause us to faint. I always tell the story when I was in school, in college, I wanted a job at a feed mill. They paid $2.50 an hour, and I was only making like $1.50. But I was going to college full-time, and I was the night manager of a restaurant, and you don't get in very good shape doing those things. So every day when I would ride a bus out to the mall to work at the restaurant I worked at, I would get off in the downtown area and go down to this feed mill. Well, they finally gave me a job, so I went there the first day. It was the middle of the summer, and it gets hot in the Midwest. And they gave me a great big hand truck and said, "There's a whole box car of 100-pound sacks of chopped alfalfa. You take this hand truck down there, you stack 7 of them on this hand truck, you go up the ramp, take them into the warehouse, put them all there," and I started doing it. Of course, I wasn't good with a hand truck yet. You have to develop the ability to do that well. And then every time I'd go up and try to get the sacks to come off, they'd all fall down. I'd have to pick them up again. And all that night, I'm thinking, I'm going to quit. Then I think, I can't quit. Andrew was waiting to be born when that happened. But labor can cause us to faint. Adversity. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And we do have adversities. None of us know what we're going to face. We don't know what the next day brings. We don't know what the next telephone ring brings. But we have adversity. Disappointment can cause us to faint. A shining example of this is Elijah, the great prophet. When he saw God bless on Mount Carmel, he thought he had brought Israel back to God. And the next thing he knows, Jezebel's after him and going to kill him. And he flees to Sinai and there has to be re-encouraged by the Lord. But disappointment causes us to faint. And the reason we get disappointed is because we have ideas of what life's going to be, what's going to take place. An expression I've always liked is this: if you want to make God smile, tell him your plans. Because our plans don't ever come to pass. God's plan, none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" But our plans don't work out so well. Then chastisement can cause us to faint. Chastisement is a blessing. Chastisement is God's way of keeping us, and we should appreciate it. but it's not fun. It's difficult. In Hebrews 12 and verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Notice that expression, "nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." God chastens us to make us partakers of his holiness. He chastens us to draw us near to him, to kickstart our prayer life. And yet we often faint and become discouraged because of his chastisement. And then a lack of faith, little faith, can cause us to faint. The scripture says in Psalm 27, verse 13, let me just turn there. My memory's not what it used to be. Psalm 27 and verse 13, the scripture there informs us about how lack of faith can cause fainting. And that's the wrong verse. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Well, is it 8:13? What does it say? That's it. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And so a lack of faith, our life is a life of faith. Our work is a work of faith. And if we do not trust God and his sovereign providence, we're going to faint. Now, what does it matter if we faint? What is the danger of fainting? If we allow ourselves as Christians to faint, what do we lose? Well, there are several things that ought to be considered. First of all, we fail to grow as we should. In the book of James, the scripture says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The scripture says we should be happy, we should rejoice when we fall into different types of temptations. The reason is because faith, the trying of our faith works patience, which means endurance. And endurance produces a perfecting work. It causes us to grow and be what we should be. Now, one thing we ought to want in our lives is to always be growing. A year from now, you ought to be a stronger Christian than you are now, a more knowledgeable Christian. You ought to be a wiser Christian. And so when we faint, we don't grow, because tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience works this perfection, this spiritual maturity. So may God help us to grow. I was getting some concrete work done around the church here one time, and the fellow that was doing the work, he seemed like a nice guy, but he said, I forget, it was a tool he needed, a trowel or something. And I said, "Well, you're a concrete man, where's your trowel?" And he told me the story, and I said, "That's what comes of always taking the easy way. That's what comes of always quitting when life gets hard." And he said, "You're exactly right." But we do not grow when we fail to endure, and when we fail to go through the tough times, when we toss in the towel. Another danger of fainting is loss of fruit. We quoted Galatians 6:9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The connotation there is if you faint, you're not going to reap. You're not going to see the blessings of Almighty God. One of the things I often try to encourage young preachers to remember is to be the best preacher they can be and do the best they can do. And if they don't see fruit, what does the scripture say? In due season. You know, if a farmer could spend a week plowing 10 hours a day and doing other types of work, and he might say, "I haven't seen a seen a crop yet. Well, it's not time for the crop yet. In due season we reap if we faint not. And so that is something that we lose if we do not wait on the Lord and if we allow ourselves to faint. When David fell into sin, and of course this circumstance is a little bit different, but when he fell into sin, he repented, and we have this great penitential psalm in Psalm 51. But one of the things that David said was, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." The reason I read that is because when he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation," when you faint, you don't have joy. But he said, "Lord, I've sinned, forgive me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And he said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." God does not use us when we're in a state of spiritual faintheartedness. Another thing we have is loss of joy. We've just referred to David, who said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." A Christian who has fainted is not joyful, and they're not believing, and they're not hopeful. So we lose joy. Then we lose protection. There is no armor for the back of a Christian. In fact, I think, they used to say in ancient Greece, the mother would say to her son as she went off to war, "Come home with your shield or on your shield." If they died, they'd carry them home on their shield. If they come home carrying their shield, that meant that they were victorious. And so we need to beware of fainting, because when we turn our backs to the enemy, we endanger ourselves. What does the Bible say about Esau? He came in faint. And what did he do when he was faint? He sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And we need to beware of faintheartedness. Now, what can we do when we faint to get out of this state? How can we be encouraged again? A lot of preachers are faint-hearted. I meet preachers all the time. They're just discouraged, and they keep going, but it seems like they're just going through the motions. What can we do in a situation of faint-heartedness? First of all, well, let me just read the verse before I even mention it. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." Who's the writer to Hebrews talking about? Well, of course, he's talking about Jesus. And what does he say? Consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Anytime you get discouraged, anytime you are cast down, anytime you lose strength and courage, the great antidote for that is to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, what he went through and what he did for us is altogether beyond anything that we've done and anything that we have suffered. And the Bible says that as our great high priest, that he understands. You know, church knows I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's for 13 years. And I still hear people say, "You don't look faint," which I always say, "Well, I don't have leprosy. My head didn't fall off. You know, I mean, my brain's about shot, but you can't, you know, I'm not wearing my brain around on the outside." But Parkinson's, people say, "What does it do?" Well, it's not terrible. I mean, there's people in here that have worse ailments than I do. In no way am I expressing self-pity. But there's one thing about Parkinson's that seemed like it disturbs me, and that is that if you don't have it, you don't have a clue what it is. Now, I know there's a sense in which it's that way with everything, but it's really that way with Parkinson's. Let me tell you, if you don't have it, when I first was diagnosed, I got a stack of books and read on the subject, And the thing that struck me is the doctors don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't have a subjective understanding of what it's like. And it's not that I feel sorry for myself, but you try to tell somebody, and I get frustrated because I'll try to explain to somebody what you're going through, and they just look at you. And you can tell they don't have a clue what you're talking about. But Jesus understands, doesn't he? He came to this earth, and whatever you're going through, the Lord understands. And we can consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. You say, well, people don't understand me. You remember a few weeks ago I preached a sermon on Mary of Bethany? And what I said about Mary of Bethany, she was the only one that understood. Here Christ is getting ready to die for our sins. The apostles, they didn't get it. He explained it over and over. They didn't get it. Martha didn't get it. Judas certainly didn't get it. The leaders of Israel didn't get it. But Mary of Bethany understood, and she was a great blessing to our Lord, I think, because he was able to experience that she did understand, and we can always know that Christ understands. Then we consider the harvest. When God puts us in his vineyard, he puts us in his field to work, he has a purpose. He knows that in due season we will reap if we faint not. And I thank God for any fruit that I've seen in my life and what you've done. God will bless that. Then we need to pray. The scripture says that Jesus spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What should we do when we feel faint-hearted? We should pray. You know, you take Job. No one has suffered any worse than Job suffered. But the thing that interests me is that Job's friends were babbling about God, but Job was talking to God. And as low as he got, when you come to the end of the book, he's happy in the Lord. And so we need to pray. And in times of trouble, keep talking to the Lord. Keep drawing near him. Another bit of advice that we would have for somebody who has fainted is you need to redirect your attention. Redirect your attention. First of all, redirect your attention from the horizontal to the vertical. You say, what do you mean? Stop looking around here and look here. Look up. You say, things are bad. Not bad in heaven. You say, things are out of control. Not out of God's control. You say, things are just going wild. God's sitting on his throne. Everything's going just as he planned. The vertical look is a lot more encouraging than the horizontal look. In this world, it seems that things are out of control, but that's certainly not the case. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the famous preacher, who at one time he was a physician, he was associate physician to the Queen of England. Her doctor was Dr. Horder, Lord Horder, and D. Martin Lloyd-Jones was his assistant. He told this story. He said that back in the early days of psychiatric talk therapy, this is not medicine, this is back when they were doing the talk therapy. You know, you hear people joke about the doctor said, did your dog bite you when you were young? Anyway, that type of stuff. And said all of these psychologists, their appointment books were full. And they had more work than they knew what to do. Everybody, I guess, that had any money wanted to be psychoanalyzed. But Dr. Lloyd-Jones said that a funny thing happened. World War II started. And Hitler's bombs and his rockets started hitting England. And they started to sink all the ships because England had colonies. They hardly raised any food. And Hitler's out here with these U-boats sinking all their ships, and they're about to starve to death, and bombs are hitting their cities. And he said, all of the psychologists lost all their patients. You say, why? their attention was redirected. They had problems that they were going to the doctor to see, and when the bombs started falling, people started starving, they started thinking about something else. Well, beloved, when we are discouraged and cast down, when life has beat us up, we need to think about something else. We need to have our mind on the things that are vertical, not the things that are horizontal. You read the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet, and yet the book of Habakkuk is not about prophecies. The book of Habakkuk is about the things that Habakkuk went through. And he'd heard that the Babylonian nation was going to come, and they were a brutal people. And he thought of what was going to happen to Israel, and he was brokenhearted. But as he begins to look to the Lord, and as he begins to consider the things of heaven, he ends by saying this: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, that's the vertical look. He'd been looking around, looking at Babylon, looking at the dangers that were facing. But when he came to grips with the Lord, he said, if everything goes wrong that can go wrong, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. You say, Brother Ron, what if the wrong politician gets in office? God is on the throne and he put him there. You say, what if gas goes up to $5 a gallon? The Lord's ruling the universe. And we need to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Another thing we need to consider is we need to redirect our attention, and that we redirect our attention from the past to the future. Most Christians are discouraged because they go around thinking about the past. And the past has beat us up, and we've had bad times, and we can't get our mind off of that. In Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now notice, forgetting those things which are past, those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what we need to do? Forget about the past and press toward the mark. Now, for instance, what would happen if I went home tonight and had a stroke and they put me in a nursing home and I could never preach again? I have two options. I can lay there in the bed and say, I'll never preach again. I'm in this old smelly nursing home. Or I could say, this is a new day. These people have souls. They need somebody to talk to them. I can be an example. In other words, you can think about the past or you can think about the future. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Preachers get discouraged. Christians get discouraged. They think about the past. The past is past. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark. I know this. If you're fleeing, say you're in a race, you're not going to do very good if you're turned around looking at where you came from. You got to aim toward the mark. And so we need to redirect our attention from the past to the future. And then finally, let me mention one other thing, and this is out of Joshua chapter 1. And I've noticed this about Joshua, how often he speaks this way, and it's a great thought. We need to have courage. We have a great God. God in one person is a majority. God rules this universe. The Bible says the heavens do rule. Now listen to what Joshua says. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What Joshua is saying is, when things look bad, obey the Lord, trust him. Do what he tells you to do. And what does it take to do what God tells you to do? It takes courage. But he said, if you have courage, God will make your way prosperous. And may the Lord help us to stand up and do what is right, and God will be with us. We need to examine ourselves, because we go through this life faint-hearted. We go through this life without joy. And without joy, we're ineffective as witnesses. We do not bring glory to the Lord. May God help us to not faint. There's nothing that's going on in our lives that God didn't say would go on. He said, in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We need to get out of the spiritual faint-hearted state that we stay in so often, and believe in God, and look to the Lord, and consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and stay on our knees before him, and God will help us. May the Lord bless you.